Okay, good morning everyone. Although by the Daf Yomi cycle, today's Daf is Bava Basra, the first Daf. That will be this evening. The Rav will be giving that Daf at 6:15 at Kineshop. And the Siyam on Bava Metzia following at 7 p.m. in Meretz Hashem this evening. Okay, so we're going to pick up where we left off on... Okay. So we're picking up, it's about a 11 lines up in the medium-sized lines on the page. So Amar Rabba, Habata Behefker Tanaihi. So we encountered this concept yesterday about whether looking or watching over something, actively watching over something is enough to be konet, the snan. So Rabba theorizes that the following machlokas we're going to learn, that what it's dependent on is their consideration of whether looking or watching over something is enough to acquire. Because we learned as follows in the Mishnah, Shomrei Sviche Shvias, and that we're chazering a little bit what we did yesterday, but just so that we have a unit of thought, that basically during Shemitah, you can't grow crops, you can't grow barley, you can't grow wheat. And the question we were dealing with is, what do you do with the fact that you need the barley for the Karban Omer, and you need the wheat for the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos? So what, and that has to come from that year's crop. So what do you do? How do you have it if no one's able to plant crops? So we say that, as we know, that there are certain, seeds or kernels, whatever it is, that fall in the, harvesting process the prior year, and then those things on their own grow without being actually planted by the farmer. So what they would do is they would send people to go watch those sviche shvias and kind of to tell people that Hekdesh has its eye on those things, so that they shouldn't take it, and that way there would be enough that they can harvest in time to make those karbanas. So Shomrei Sviche Shvias, these people watch it. Notlun Schar Mitchumas Alishcha. So according to the Tanakama, they get paid by the Gizbar, so that they'll watch it. Rabbi Yossi says, Arotzim is Nadev who v'shomer chinam. That Rabbi Yossi says, no, he doesn't necessarily have to get paid. If he wants to be a volunteer, he can be a shomer chinam and he can watch it for free. So that's the machlokas. Then the mission continues. Amr lo, the Chachamim, the Tanakama said to Rabbi Yossi, Ata Omer, can you say so? If you're going to do that, ain't bain mishal tzibur. You're going to have a problem because the karbonas that need to come from the tzibur aren't going to come from the tzibur. And we'll see in a minute, we're going to have three scenarios, and we'll see in each scenario, what does that mean that they said to Rabbi Yossi that it's going to end up that it doesn't come from the tzibur. But in any event, that's the Mishnah, and that's the machlokas, the Tanakama Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbah says as follows, my lav v'hokam mefagi. So isn't it that they're arguing about the following issue, which is, again, he wants to say that they're arguing about whether habat of a hefker is kona, whether by looking at something that's hefker you can acquire. The Tanakama holds habat of a hefker kani. The Tanakama holds that, in fact, if someone is watching over something that is hefker, he's kona it. So therefore, v'iyahivile igra in v'ilo lo. So therefore, if we pay him, he's going to be koneed for us, for Hekdesh, and if not, he's going to be koneed for himself. So what's going on here? So we referenced yesterday that this is going back on the idea which we spoke about yesterday also, that if someone is hired to do something, then they're koneed, that they yado ki yad balabayis, that they koneed as if they're an extension of the hand of the person they're working for. So when they're being paid, they're going to be koneed for Hekdesh. But if they're not paid, they're going to be koneed for themselves. And if they're koneed for themselves, now obviously they understood they're trying to give something to Hekdesh. So they understood that they're going to give it to Hekdesh. So the problem isn't that they're going to be koneed for themselves and keep it. The problem we were concerned about, which we'll see in the Gemara in a minute, is that maybe they're not going to wholeheartedly give it over. Why would they not wholeheartedly give it over? We said yesterday, because someone wants, they kind of like the idea that the Karban Omer, the Karban Shtei Alechem is going to come from me. It's my wheat that they're using for the Karban Omer, or for the Karban Shtei Alechem, or Sa'orim that they're using for the Karban Omer. But what's the problem with that? The problem with that is that a carbon needs to come from the tzibur. It needs to come from everyone. So we're worried this guy, if we pay him, then he's acting on our behalf and it automatically accrues to the gizbar. But if we're not paying him, he has to transfer it to the gizbar. And if he transfers it to the gizbar, maybe he doesn't do it wholeheartedly and we end up with it not coming from the tzibur. So that's the Tanakama holds that Habata Behefker is Kona, and that's why we're concerned that he's going to be Kona for himself. Rav Yossi is not worried. He said the guy could be a volunteer. Why? Because Habata Behefker lo Kani, because watching over it is not Kona for anything. And therefore, the only time that the gizbar is going to get it is not because the guy's going to hand it to the gizbar, but rather all his watching doesn't do anything. The only thing that's going to be Kona is when they actually reap the barley or the wheat. And when they reap it, it's the gizbar who's doing it, so they're going to be koned. So Rav Yossi wasn't worried if he's a volunteer because he's not going to be koned. And that when the tzibur goes and cuts down this barley or wheat, that's when there's zocha in it, that's when they get it. And then obviously the gizbar owns it, and if the gizbar took ownership of it, then it belongs to the tzibur. So then, okay, fine. So that's the machlokas, the way Rabbah's understanding is that Tanakama holds that we're worried that he acquires it himself because Habata Behefker is Kona. And Rav Yossi says, no, he can be a volunteer. We're not worried because Habata Behefker is not Kona. So what's this business that the Chachamim said to Rav Yossi? What was this Ata Omer? And Rashi explains that normally you would think we'd be asking a question on Rav Yossi based on what he says. So what does that mean? In other words, but according to Rav Yossi, why will it end up being that the carbonus won't come from the carbon tzibur? He said the guy is not kona, and if he's not kona by staring at it, then hektish is kona when they reap it. So the Gemara says, Hachi Karmelei, this is what they were saying to him. Midvarecha, from your words that say that the guy can be a volunteer, lidvarenu, according to our words that says habater behefker is kona, that by watching it, your kona, it will turn out that ain omer v'shtei alechem boi mishal tzibur, that then we're going to end up having it, that the carbon isn't going to come from the tzibur, because this guy will have been kona it, and maybe he didn't give it over fully to the gizbar. Okay, so that's what we did yesterday. That's the first view of this. Rava says, no. Rava, I disagree with you. They're not arguing about whether Habata Behefker is Kona, whether watching something carefully is enough to be Kona. The Kule Amo, Habata Behefker, Kani. So Rava wants to say everyone holds that staring, that watching over something is enough in the case of Hefker to be Kona. V'hacha, so then what's the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi in this case? Chashinan Shemelo Yimsreim Yafa Yafa Kamifugi. They're arguing about this concern we said before. Are we worried that the guy is going to be kona it, right, by watching it? And then when he gives it, so by watching it and being kona it, he's not being kona it for us, he's being kona it himself, and then he's going to give it over to the gizbar. So they're arguing about, are we worried that he's not going to give it over wholeheartedly? There are banan savri, there are banan hold, yavinan le agro, that you pay him. Because if you pay him, then he's being kona it for us, for Hekdesh, and it never goes into his Rishos, and his watching it is Konet for Hekdesh. V'ilo, because if not, if we wouldn't pay him, Cheshinon, we're worried, Shemelo Yimsrim Yafa Yafa, we're worried that maybe he's not going to give it over wholeheartedly because he wants the carbon to come from his wheat or his barley. And Rav Yossi says, Lo Cheshinon Shemelo Yimsrim Yafa Yafa. Rav Yossi says, we're not worried. If the guy's going to give it over, he's going to give it over wholeheartedly. And therefore, it is not necessary that we actually pay him and hire him in order to make sure it comes to the gizbar, because he'll give it to the gizbar. And therefore, if he wants to be a volunteer and watch it for free, it doesn't bother us. Now, the Gemara says, Ma Ata Omer. What's the Ata Omer where they said to Rav Yossi is going to end up where the carbonus don't come from the tzibur? According to Rav Yossi, it's not a problem because he gives it over wholeheartedly. So why won't it come from the tzibur? So we say, Hachi Karmelei, this is what the Rabbanan were saying to him. Midvarecha, according to your words that we should not pay him, lidvarenu, according to our concern that he might not give it over, chashinan shemele yimsorim yafa yafa, where we're concerned he won't give it over wholeheartedly, and therefore, enomer v'shtei alechem boi mishal tzibur, then it won't come from the tzibur. So in each of these cases, what they're saying is basically they're not coming back to him to disprove him, they're just kind of saying, you know, we're worried about what you're saying. We're going to end up that the carbon won't come from the tzibur. Okay, so Rabbah said they were arguing about Habata Behefker is Kani or not. Rabbah said, no, that's not what they were arguing about. Everyone agrees that Habata Behefker is Kana. So that was the second version. Now we're going to bring a third version, which says, Ika de Amri, the first wide line. There are those that say had a different version of what Rava said. Rava Amar de Kule Amah Habata Behefker Lo Kani. The Rava says that everyone agrees that watching something that's Hefker is not Koneet, right? Vahacha. So then what's the machlokus between them? So if everyone agrees that he's not Koneet, so then what happens? He watches it. And Hektish ends up coming and reaping it. And when Hektish reaps it, then Hektish is Koneet. So what's the concern? Why should the Rabbanon care whether we pay him or not? Because at the end of the day, the only thing that's being Koneet is the actual harvesting of it. So the Gemara says, V'hacha b'chashinu l'balei zruas kemifligi. They're arguing about whether or not there was a concern for balei zruos. Balei zruos are strong men, the mafia, whatever, people. They would come and take things. The Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama holds, the Takini Rabbanon Lameis of Le'abrazuzi, Kiheicha de Lishmai, the Lishmai Balei Zruos, Velifershu Minayu. The Rabbanon hold that we give him, there was a Takana that we should give him four Zuz, in order that the Balei Zruos, these strong men, should hear that. So what's happening? That they're giving him the four Zuz. Now, he's not being Kona by watching it. So what's going on, though, is that we're concerned. The reason we would pay him the four Zuz is because when the Balei Zruos heard that the Gizbar paid him, then they're going to think that the Gizbar, that therefore Hektish owns it. Even though Hektish doesn't, but they say to themselves, why would Hektish be paying him if not for the fact that he's being Kona for Hektish? So therefore, they're not going to come take it. V'lifer shuminayo, they're going to leave it alone, and then we'll have the barley or the wheat for the carbon. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Rabbi Yossi says, lo takino, that we're not worried about this, or this doesn't help, or whatever the point is. Rabbi Yossi says, we don't have that concept. So Umayata Omer, So what were they saying to him? It turns out that it's not going to come from, the karbanas aren't going to come from the tzibur. So this is going to be a little bit different. They say as follows. Hachi kamali, this is what they're saying to them. Midvarecha, from your words that you said that we should not pay him, lidvarenu, according to our words of why, of the fact that we did have a takana to pay him, ein ba'im mishal tzibur. That it's not going to come from the tzibur. Now, this is a very different argument. What they're saying is as follows. That the Chazal were mesakin that we should pay the guy four zuz, right? For doing this thing, according to the way the Rabbanon understand it. And so what happens? If he acts as a volunteer, at some level, there's monies designated in the Trumas Alishka, or maybe he doesn't fully forgive it, or maybe he does, but whatever the point is, somehow there are monies designated in the Trumas Halishcha, in the room where all the coins are that we use to buy the karbanos, that really belong to him. Because he was supposed to get paid the four zuz. So if we let those coins stay in the Trumas Halishcha, and then we use those coins to go buy some other carbon, it could be we buy the carbon tumid with it, right? What's going to end up happening is because those were his coins, and not really the Gizbar's coins, then when we go buy the carbon tumid, we're going to end up with a carbon tumid that's not bought by the tzibur. So in the first two instances, when we were understanding what the Ata Omer Lo, that they were saying to him was they were coming back and saying, these karbanos that we're talking about, the carbon Omer, or the Shtei Alechem, are going to end up coming not from the tzibur. This one is saying something different. It's saying that if we have monies in the Trumas HaLishcha that really belong to him and not to the tzibur, then if we go buy a different carbon, we're going to end up with it not coming from the tzibur. The Gemara says, "V'chein ki asa Ravin amar Rav Yochanan." When Ravin came, he said the name of Rav Yochanan. Choshishon lebali zruos eki benayu. He said that the machlokas is about the third version, and therefore we're arguing about whether we're worried about bali zruos. Now, if remember in the third version, which was the second version of Rava, Rava said that everyone agrees habata behefker is not kona, and that's in fact based on Ravin coming and saying Rav Yochanan, we know that habata behefker is not kona, and watching over something that's hefker is not sufficient to take ownership of it. Okay. Hamotzi Zevel, we're at the Mishnah four lines down on Kofiot Chasam Beis. Hamotzi Zevel or Shis Arabim, that if someone is bringing out, Zevel is manure that you're making to fertilizer, if he's bringing this manure out into the Shis Arabim, Hamotzi Motzi Vam Mezabel Mezabel, that the guy who brings it out should bring it out, and the guy who is going to use it. I'm sorry, this is not manure. They're bringing out actual fertilizer. So they're bringing fertilizer to Rishus HaRav. Now, mostly, the guy's bringing it out should bring it out. But the guy who's going to take it and spread it somewhere to fertilize something should do so immediately. In other words, we don't want, you're allowed to use the Rishus HaRav to bring out fertilizer, but we don't want it sitting there because people could slip on it. So therefore, you can bring it out to the Rishus HaRav and make that a staging place. But you immediately, as soon as the guy brings the zevel out, the guy who's actually taking the zevel and putting it in a field to fertilize it should do his role right away. Okay? Ein shorin tit b'Rishus HaRavim. So now we don't, shorin is to soak, tit b'Rishus HaRavim. Now we don't soak, tit is clay. So we shouldn't soak clay in Rishus HaRavim because there was some process that they used to take the clay and they would soak it, and we didn't want this to happen because it sits in Rishus HaRavim for a long time. People could be injured by it. Vein lovnim levenim, and we don't make bricks. Rashi describes we'll see that in a minute, but Rashi describes in detail how did they used to make bricks. The way they would do it is they would find a flat surface, they would spread out clay, this is very interesting, and then they would come and they would spread out clay. Rashi says, to be whatever height they want the bricks. So if you want thick bricks, you'd put a lot of clay. You want thin bricks, you'd put a little bit of clay. So then you'd have this surface, and then you would take some kind of knife, and you would cut the shape of the bricks, and it would stay there for some long period of time, and then they would dry. And then when it's dried, you have the bricks, exactly the thickness you want and exactly the shape you want, because that's how you would do. You would cut in the clay when it was soft. But in any event, I'm sorry? Till it rains. Okay. And in Israel, it doesn't rain for a whole long period. But okay. So, Vein Lovnim Lovenim, so saying we don't do this whole process of making these bricks in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim because people could, hurt themselves. Aval Govlin Tit Rishus HaRabim. We can mix clay in Rishus HaRabim. And this would be if you're doing a building project. So you want to be mixing the clay to use it to be able to do some aspect of the building. That you're allowed to do. Now why, avalo levenim, but you can't mix the clay to make levenim because evidently that takes longer. So what does it come out? It comes out that as relate to bricks, you're in bad shape. You can't mix it there. You can't create it there. You can't do any of that. The only thing you can do is that you can mix. You can mix clay if you're using it right then in a building process, and you're using it kind of as a some kind of not to make a material. You're not making the brick. You're using it in the building process as clay. Okay, habona b'rishus harabim. Someone who is building something in rishus harabim, hamevi avonim mevi v'habona bona. So this is similar to what we said that the hamotzi motzav mazabel mazabel. The idea that you shouldn't leave it hanging out in rishus harabim. So if someone's building something which they're building presumably in a Rishus HaYachid, but they're standing in the Rishus HaRabim. So let's say, for example, a guy wanted people to build a gate for him. So they're standing in the Rishus HaRabim building the gate that's situated in the Rishus HaYachid. So the idea is that he can have someone bring him the stones. But pretty much as soon as the guy brings him the stone, he should take the stone and put it onto his wall. So you shouldn't leave the stones lying around in the Rishus HaRabim because you can cause damage to someone. So the guy should bring the stones, bring them, and the bone, the builder should build with it. So the Mishnah says, v'im hizik, in all of these cases, where we let him do these things, but if at the end of the day, he ends up causing damage, mishalei masha hizik, he has to pay the damages that he caused. Okay? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel differs, and he says, af misakin hu es malachta lefnei shloshim yom. So he's going back on this idea that the builder can't put his stuff down. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, he can even put it down for 30 days. And really, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is actually arguing on two fronts. First of all, he's saying, you're welcome to put it down, because you're allowed to. And if you do it because you're allowed to, and we're going to see this in more detail in the Gemara, because you're allowed to, you're not chayev if you do that. So fundamental machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel, which we're going to see, centers around the question of if you do something with Rishus, are you chayev if there's damage comes out from it? Okay, but first we're going to go down a different path for a moment. The Gemara says, last thin line, Lema Masnisin Delok Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, because the Sanya we learned in a Braisa, and we have encountered this in our Daf Yomi before. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'shas Hotzaz Zvalim Adamotzi Zivlo Rushes Harabim, that during that period of time, there were periods of the year when people used to put out, they would put out fertilizer. Actually, what they would do is they would put out manure. Rashi says they would empty it from the refes, from the barns or whatever, and they would put it out in the street. Why? So that we'll see in a minute. The Gemara is going to say he put it out in the street, and he could put his manure there. Vitzovra kol shloshim yom, and he could, you know, kind of pile it up again every 30 days. Why? Kadesha yehei nishuf baragli adam baragli behema. That why would they put out manure right in the middle of the street? Because this way people and animals would walk over it, and it would break down the manure, and then the manure would become suitable fertilizer. And why is he allowed to do this? The review to continue. Shamanas kein hincho Yeshua li Yisrael etzaretz. Because that was one of the Tanayim. There were a number of things we learned in the Baba Kama that Yeshua said when they went into the land, these are things that people are allowed to do, and one of them is allowed to put out the Zevel into the Rishis HaRabim. So what's the problem? So why is our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? Because our Mishnah said that if you're going to take Zevel out into Rishis HaRabim, the minute you take the Zevel out, the Motzi Motzi Vamazabal Mazabal, that the guy has to immediately put it in the field. And here you see that you could leave it out for some, looks like months at a time, because every 30 days you would pile it up and let people walk on it. So it seems like Rabbi Yehuda does not match with our Mishnah, which says that you're chayev if you put it out. A, that you shouldn't do it, and B, that you're chayev if you do. So the Gemara says, "Afilu teim Rabbi Yehuda." You could say that our Mishnah could be consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. Moder Rabbi Yehuda shem hezek chayev l'shalim, because Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you cause damage, you're chayev to pay. So the way the Gemara is understanding at this moment Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, Rabbi Yehuda would be saying, you're welcome to put your zevel out in the Rishus HaRabim, because that was one of the Tanayim that Yeshua is manchil the aretz. But if you do it and it causes damage, then you're liable. So then what, how would they understand our Mishnah, which says, Hamotzi motzi v'amazabal mazabal? So they would understand that to be saying that it's giving you Eitzah Tova. It's telling you, if you're going to put out zevel in the Rishus HaRabim, you should immediately get it taken away, because otherwise you could be liable. So we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah are consistent. So the Gemara says, "V'hatanan, is that true that you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda is maskim? V'hatanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Moda Rabbi Yehuda ben Erchanaka shu pater mipnei shu osa bershus. So what we're saying is that Rabbi Yehuda, the way we're answering is that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that even though they told him you could put out your zevel, and that was the Tanai under which Yeshua brought them into the land, he's still chayv if he causes damages. But we're going to ask as follows. We see that Rabbi Yehuda says that if someone does something bershus, he's not chayv for damages that are caused. Now, we encountered this case too. Let's remind ourselves, what was this case? This was a case where you had a chenveni, who had a storekeeper who had a candle, and you had a camel walking by with flax hanging off the side of the camel. So we said as follows. If the storekeeper put his candle in the street, right, he should have known that camels come by with flax hanging over the side. It lit on fire. So the storekeeper is obligated, because he should not have kept his candle out in front of the store. If, on the other hand, he keeps his candle inside his store and the flax from the camel reaches out far enough that it goes into the store and lights on fire, then he's not liable, because it was reasonable to keep a candle in his store. Then we say over there, however, even if he left it outside, if the candle that he left outside was Ner Chanukah, then it's okay, because he did it with Rishus. So now we say as follows, Moder Rabbi Yehuda ben Ner Chanukah Shul Patr, Mifnei Shul Oseh Rishus. He does it with Rishus. My love, when we're saying he does it with Rishus, aren't we talking about Rishus Bezdin, Rishus the Bezdin? So therefore, what do you see? You see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if someone does something bershus, then they're not liable for damages. And so therefore, in our case also, where he puts his zevel out, you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda says you have the right to put the zevel out, but you're liable for damages. But if he did it bershus, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're not chayev. So the Gemara says, no. When it says that he's not chayev for Ner Chanukah, not because he did it with rishus of Bezdin, meaning Bezdin told him he could do it, but rather rishus de mitzvah. Because since it's unique to Ner Hanukkah. It's not the idea that if Beis Din let you put a candle out, you're not liable, that you would be liable. And therefore, just like you would be liable for a candle you put out, even if Beis Din said you could, you're liable for Zevel that causes damages, even though Yeshua said you could. What's the case where we said since you did it for Shus, it's Pater, is because Ner Hanukkah is a mitzvah. So if you're doing something that's a mitzvah, in that case, you don't need, you're not chayev for damages, but otherwise you would be chayev for damages. So the Gemara says, I'm still going to argue with you, and I still think that Rabbi Yehuda holds that as long as you do it with Roshos, even if it's Roshos Beis Din, that you're pater. Where do we see that? V'atanya, we learned in a brayso. Kol elu sha'amru mutarim lekalkel Roshos Harabim. All these things that we said that you could be makalkel on Roshos Harabim. Rashi says, what are those things? He says, all the kol osam nizakin shenasin chachamim leim Roshos. All these various damagers that Chazal gave us Rishus, v'amru mutarin lekalkel b'rishus harabim, and they said you can ruin the Rishus harabim by putting them there, ulashlichon l'sham and to throw things there, kigon, like what are those? Hadzas v'alim Rabbi Yehuda, this case we're dealing with, Rabbi Yehuda says you could put fertilizer there, or manure, ukigon poskim b'boseyem, that they would open up their discharge pipes, or whatever, some kind of pipe that had water or liquids in it. The garfim maroseyan, they would take their, they used to use a keli that they would put refuse or excrement, and they could throw that out on the street. Bimosa gishamim during the rainy season. The brishus kavdi, because since they did it with rishus, so now. We say in the Brisa, Kol Eilu Shamim Mutarim Lekalkel Brishus Harabim, all these things that we said you're allowed to be Mekalkel Brishus Harabim, Im Hizek Chayev, Chayev L'Shalom. That if you, nonetheless, even though you're allowed to do it, if they cause damage, you're Chayev to pay. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're Potter. Because if you do something Brishus Beis Din, if Beis Din say you're allowed to open up your discharge pipes into Brishus Harabim, you're allowed to do it. And if it causes damage, you're Potter. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you do something Bershus, you're putter. So now we're back. You cannot tell me that when Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to take Zevel out, he's saying, yeah, you could take it out, but you're Chayiv. So we have a stira between our Mishnah, which says you should not take out Zevel because you could cause damage, and that's why immediately, as soon as you put down the Zevel, you should use it. And we have Rabbi Yehuda saying that you're allowed to put Zevel out, and it seems that he holds that if you're allowed to, you're putter. So the Gemara says, "El machvar to masnisin like Rabbi Yehuda." So enochinami that we were trying to salvage Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah to be arguing with one another, trying to say they're not arguing, but now we're saying in fact they do argue. Once we're saying they do argue, so no more of this idea that our Mishnah was giving us Eitzah Tova. Our Mishnah argues Rabbi Yehuda holds you can put it out, and if you put it out and it causes damage, you're not chayev. Our Mishnah holds not just Eitzah Tova; it's telling you you're not allowed to put out Zevel and Rishus Rabim, except for that brief moment, you could put it down. Hamotzi motzi v'amizabo mizabo. But as the Mishnah says clearly, if you even when you put it down that little bit, if you cause damage, then you're going to be chayev. Okay, Amar Abaya. Rabbi says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Kulo, Svir Luhu, Komak Shenasim Bocha Chamer Rishus, V'Hizik Pater. So we have these three people. Abaya says that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, all of them hold that if Chazal gave you Rishus to do something, and when you are acting within the bounds of that Rishus, you cause damage, you're Pater. What are the cases where each of those people say it? Rabbi Yehuda Hada Amran. Rabbi Yehuda, this thing that we said, we had the Brisa that they said, all these kol elu shamar mutarim lekalkel b'rishus harabim, all these things that we said you can spoil b'rishus harabim, and we said, but if you're hizik you're chayev, if you're mazik you're chayev, and we said Rabbi Yehuda poter. So you see Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you're poter, if you do something acting b'rishus Beis Din and you cause hezek. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what's the case that we see at Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? This non, because we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar af mesakin hu es malachta lefnei shaloshim yom. In our Mishnah we said that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said not only can you put your items out there that you're building, you don't have to have it, you don't have to do it that, Hamevi Avon and Mevi Vabone Bone. He says you don't have to do that. In fact, you could put your tools and all your stuff in Rishus Rabin for 30 days. And he holds that when you do that, you are Pater for any damages that might be caused. Because he argues on the Tanakama who said, Vim Hizik Mashal and Masha Hizik. Okay, so that's two cases. We have Rabbi Yehuda and we have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. How do we know that Rabbi Shimon holds that if you act Bereshus Bezdin, that you're potter for any damages? Rabbi Shimon, Desnan, Hayamamido, Baalia, Tzarech Sheyehe Tachtov, Maziva, Shlosha Tvachim, Vikira Tefach. What's going on here? So Rashi tells us that we're coming into the middle of a Mishnah of a Basra in Perek Lo Yachbar, where it says as follows, Lo Yamin Adam Tanar Besocha Bayis, He says as follows. The Mishnah was discussing that you should not put a oven inside a house unless you leave 4 amas of space between the oven and the ceiling, because otherwise you could light the place on fire. And if it's not your place, or if you start a fire and Rashi says it causes damage somewhere else, you would be chayev. So the idea is that you should leave 4 amas there. Now, while we're continuing and we're talking in that Mishnah and saying as follows, that that if you're putting this oven in an attic, not only do you need to worry about the 4 amas that you need between the oven and the ceiling, but you need to worry about maybe you're going to light the floor on fire. So therefore, if you're putting an oven in an attic, you have to do 3 tvachim worth of plaster beneath the oven so that the oven shouldn't light the floorboards on fire. Ubekira, if you're talking about kira, was essentially the oven is something you put the food in. The kira was you put it on top. So I guess the equivalent of our difference between an oven and a stove. Ubekira tefach. If you only have a kira, you have a tefach. I'm not sure if it's because it doesn't get as hot or because it's on the top, so the heat generates upward. Whatever the point is, you only need a tefach worth of plaster. V'imhizik. And if you do this, even if you put 3 tvachim of maziva beneath a regular oven or 1 tefach beneath a kira, if it still causes damage and it lights the floor on fire, mishalem ashehizik, you pay the damages. Rabbi Shimon comes to say, Lo Omru Kol Shiyurim Halalu Elishim Hizik Patur Milashalim. Rabbi Shimon says, no. What's the reason they made all these guidelines? They said, if you're going to put an oven here, you need 3 tefachim. If you're going to put a kira here, you need 1 tefach. The point is to say it's a safe harbor. If you do these things, you are going to be putter from any damages because you listen to the standards that Chazal set. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. So now we're just talking about something that relates to building. It's a new idea. Hachotzev shemaser lesates. A chotzev is like we say chotzev eitzim is someone who chops wood. This is we're talking about stone. So Rashi says a chotzev even minahar laakro michibura. Someone who chops stone from a mountain to separate it from being attached to the mountain. So basically, a guy who is mining stone. A chotzev shemaser lesates. The sates, Rashi says, is who marbo machlika. He's the one who makes it square and makes it smooth. Mesates, we use this language by on Rosh Hashanah when we say kenanachnu biyadcha. So that's a lesates. Okay. So hachotzev shemasa lesates, hasates chayv. If the miner gives it to the smoother and he drops it, he's chayv. He's chayv for dropping it, and he's chayav for any damage that it caused. Hasates shemaser lachamer. So what would happen? The guy who would smooth the stone would give it to the camel driver who would, this was like an assembly line for construction. He would give it to the camel driver. And if the camel driver dropped it, hachamer chayav. Okay? Hachamer shemaser lachasef. If the chamer gives it over, kasef, as we've had a number of times, is a shoulder. It means a guy who carries things on his shoulder, so he's a schlepper. Hakasev chayev, if he drops it, he's chayev. Hakasev shemaser lebanai, that if the kasev then gives it over to the builder, what's the builder? The builder's job was to put it up on the wall that they were building. So then if the builder drops it, habanai chayev, then the builder's chayev. Habanai shemaser ladrichal, adrichal chayev. What's the banai would give it over to an adrichal, so then the adrichal's chayev. What's the adrichal? The adrichal was, Rashi says, he was the skilled guy. What was his job? The banoi, the builder, would be the schlepper. He'd put it on top of the wall. This guy, he's the manager. He says, move it like this, move it like that to make it straight. He would make sure that the whole wall is straight. So if he drops it, he's chayev. Okay. So if he was, v'yeminiach evin ala dimos, v'zika kulon chayev l'shalim. Now, once the adrichal finished what he was doing, and now it's positioned well, if somehow the stone falls off of the demos is the row or the structure they were building, and it causes damage, all of them are chayev to pay. Meaning the entire assembly line is chayev. So the Gemara says, well, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Achron chayev, that only the last guy is chayev, meaning that Adricha will be chayev, because must be, he didn't position it right if it fell off. That's how we would understand it first. So we say, Adricha chayev, Vekulam Peturin, all of them are pater. So we say, Lo Kasha, Kamba Schiros, Kamba Kablanas. So when we say the last guy is chayev, is because each of these people were hired. Let's say a guy wanted a builder, so he wanted to build a building, so he hired a guy to mine it, and he hired a guy to smooth it, and he hired a camel driver, and he hired a carrier, and he hired each of these people. So this last guy, the Adricha, was chayev because he must not have done it properly. Whereas the other way is kablanis. This thing was like a team. They would be like the assembly line team, and they would come together. There was a miner and a smoother and whatever. And so basically, the way that works is as follows. If something happens that is not directly caused by the actions of any person, it's an enterprise. They're a group. And therefore, if something happens, if somehow the stone falls off the wall, they all share equally in the obligation for paying for it, that what got damaged or anyone got damaged by it. However, the reason we said each of them are chayev at their stage is because if the person is carrying it and they drop it, so then that's their own direct action. A direct action, they're chayev for it. So the conglomerate takes responsibility for any damages that are not directly caused, but damages that are directly caused, the person going to be individually chayev for. Okay. Shtei ginois zu agav zu. You have two gardens at two different heights, right? So if you have gardens at two different heights, what is there? There is a cliff between the two of them. Okay, so you have two ginos that are not on top of each other literally, but meaning at different heights. And so what happened? That there's a vegetable growing out of the side of this vertical wall. Remeir says it belongs to the guy who has the higher garden. Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shel Tachton, it belongs to the guy who has the lower garden. Amr Rabbi Meir says, Im Yirtza Ha'elyon Lika Chazafaro Ein Kan Yarek. Rabbi Meir says, I don't get it. If the upper guy is going to dig up his garden, which he's fully entitled to do, there's not going to be any vegetable anymore, because where's the vegetable growing out of? It's growing out of his land, his real estate. So Amr Rabbi Yehuda says, Im Yirtza Tachton L'mal Ses Kinoso Ein Kan Yarek. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rashi says, if he wanted to even out the gardens and he brought a ton of dirt and brought them to the same height, what would happen? The Yarek would die, because it's in his airspace. So Remeir, we're going to see, is interested in where is it nourished from, where does it draw its sustenance from, and Rabbi Yehuda is interested in whose airspace is it in. Remeir, me'achar sheshneim yichol limcha zeh zeh. Okay, they even each other out. One guy can get rid of the dirt, one guy can add dirt. So now we're back to a stalemate. Rohan mehechen yarek zechai. We look at where it gets its life from. Where is it sustained from? And versus Rabbi Yehuda would say that the primary question is the question of whose airspace is it in. Okay. I'm Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon has a third opinion, which is really like Rav Meir. He holds that basically it belongs to the guy who's at the higher level. He has a slightly different view. He says, look, you have this vertical wall. Let's say it's 8 feet tall. So he's going to say, whatever the guy can go from the top and reach down and grab it, that's going to be his. But anything further down than that is not his. Now, if he holds really like Rav Meir, that we look at where is it sustained from, why doesn't he get all the vegetables, all 8 feet of vegetables? Rashi says, because since he's going to be embarrassed, I don't know, maybe it seems cheap that he's going after every last vegetable. Because what would he have to do? He says he can't reach it. He would have to go down into the guy's thing. And he's going to have to ask him, can I go in your garden so I could take my carrot that's sticking out of the bottom? He's embarrassed to do that. If he's embarrassed to do that, so he's mafker it. So he doesn't care about it. Okay, fine. That's the third opinion of Shimon. Amar Rava, Bikaro Kuli Amalo Pligi De Elyon Have. Everyone agrees that the root, the part that's beneath the ground, belongs to the guy with the higher garden, because it's literally in his ground and it's not in the airspace of the other. Ki pligi binofo. They argue with its leaves. Rav Meir Saver, Shadi Nofo Basar Ikaro, that you look at the leaves from where they come from the core. And the core is being nourished from the ground of the guy who has the higher garden. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Lo amrin shadi nofo basri karo." That we don't. We look at airspace. We don't look at. We don't say that the leaves necessarily follow the root. Okay, the sanya. We learned something like this. Hayotzi min hageza u min hashrashim harei elu shebal hakarka. So the very mayor. The mayor's of the opinion. We're talking about as follows. Someone sold another person a tree for purposes of the fruit. He did not sell him the land, right? And now what happens? An offshoot comes, its own tree. So either the offshoot comes out of the ground where the roots are, or it comes out of the trunk of the tree. The question is, who owns this new shoot that becomes its own tree? Does it belong to the guy who bought the big tree? Or does it belong to the guy who owns the land? So Reb Meir is of the opinion that what you look at is where is it nourished from. So obviously what's coming from the ground is nourished from directly from the ground. Reb Meir holds that what comes out of the tree is also nourished from the ground. And the ikar we look at is where is it being nourished from. So therefore Reb Meir says, under any circumstance, whether it comes out of the ground or it comes out of the tree, it belongs to the guy who owns the land, not the guy who bought the tree. Reb Yehuda says, min hageza, if it comes out of the trunk of the tree, shabala ilan, it goes to the guy who bought the ilan, because it doesn't matter where the nourishment came from. Umin ashrashim shabala karka. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if it comes out of the roots and it comes out of the dirt, that's really a new tree. And even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that nothing to do with nourishment, but that would belong to the guy who owns the land. Okay, so now we're going to see the same machlokas in another context. Utnan nami gavay arla. We learned the same halacha by arla ki agavna in this way. We said ilan ayotzi min hageza min hashrashin chayav arla. So the question is as follows: you had this shoot came out of the trunk or came out of the roots, and the question is, do we treat it like a new tree? If it's a new tree, then and that's what Romero was saying before. He says we treat it as a new tree. That's why it belongs to the guy who owns the land. If it's a new tree, it should be chayav in arla. You now have to wait. You have to wait the 3 years, and you have revai, and then finally you can have it. So we're saying as follows: Reb Meir holds yes, it's a new tree because it's being nourished from the ground. It's not part of the other tree, and therefore you would have to start again from arla. Reb Yehuda Amar Yehuda says min hageza pater. If you're coming out of the trunk, it's pater because that's part of the old tree. And the fact that it's being sustained by the ground doesn't matter, and therefore you're putter from arlo. But he agrees that if it comes from the roots, chayiv you're chayiv in arlo. So now the obvious question is, why did you tell this to me twice? You told it to me once in the context of selling a tree, and you told it to me once in the context of arlo. Why couldn't you tell me one and I would know the other? Vitzrichi, the iash minam kamaisa. If I would only tell you the first one about sale, b'hakam Reb Yehuda mishum de'mamona. So we would say as follows: this is an interesting idea. We say that we know. By mammon, if I'm judging between two people, so that one guy bought the tree, one guy owns the land. If I tell the guy who bought the tree, it's yours, I'm taking away from the guy who owns the land. If I tell the guy who owns the land, it's his, I'm taking away from the guy who owns the tree. So I have to be super careful to be particular to figure out exactly what's going on here. So I would say that when it's mammon, then Reb Yehuda is the one who says, no, we don't treat this. We don't look at the sustenance, and it's come and it belongs to the guy who owned the tree. So because you have to be particular, avagabe arla the isura. But I would say by arla, which we're talking about iser, so big deal. Let's be machmer. And therefore, I would say ema modi leila Reb Meir. So if I only told you the case of mekach hamemkar, I would say maybe Reb Yehuda, who says we don't look at the sustenance, would say for purposes of arla, we'll look at the sustenance and call it a new tree, so that it's chayav in arla. So I might think that he was machmer. So therefore, it had to tell us the case in the case of arla. V'yitzmar baha. So then, why not just tell me the case of arla, and I'll see your machmer. We say baha kamer Reb Meir avabahi ema modula Reb Yehuda. I would say the opposite. So to say that maybe the only reason we say it by arla is because we're machbid, but maybe by mamona he's not gonna be machmer, and in fact he has to look at the din, and maybe he would hold like Reb Yehuda. So we say, no, Reb Meir does it. Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda disagree in both cases. Tzrichi, we need it. I'm Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon said, Kol Shal Elyon Yachol Lifshot. So we said, this is the 8-foot wall. Whatever he could reach down, he could grab. The other carrot, he has to leave there. Amri Debe Reb Yane. Reb Yane said, Ubavad Shalo Ya'anis. As long as he doesn't, you know, push himself, strain himself. Okay? As long as he doesn't try too hard. Okay, so we say, Boy Reb Anan.
Rabbanan asked, "V'tem Rabbi Yirmiyah magil and nofal ve'im magil iikaro." What happens if he's reaching down the side of this 8-foot wall and he can only reach the leaves, but he can't reach the root? Can he grab it out by the leaves and have it? Or do we say, since he can't reach the root, he can't reach it? Or magil iikaro ve'im magil nofal. Rashi says if it's pointing downward because it's coming out of the side of a wall, so that's actually not so weird because you have the root come down and then gravity takes it down. So he's able to reach the root, but he can't reach the leaves. Is he allowed to take it? My, what's the halacha? The Gemara says, teku. The rest we'll finish at the Siyum and Meretz Hashem. For we are tonight by the Knish Shop. It's reserved per person. So if you're going to come, please let Saeed or Ari know so that we have to give the RSVP count this morning. Yeah.